This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. It's me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Arvinda Viraj
and Christine Wong.
If you fancy watching something a little bit different, you can head over to BFM's Facebook page right now. There is a webinar happening. Online shopping has become a critical part of our lives on the back of COVID-19. That said, not all e-commerce is created equal, with complaints over quality and even scams coming up. So over on BFM's webinar, Ringgit & Sense producer and presenter Roshan Kanasan and BFM founder Malik Ali will be exploring tips for a safer online experience, how to outsmart scammers, as well as advice on managing potential overspending. That's happening right now on BFM's Facebook page. Right, we, though, here in the studio, are talking about whether or not you'd consider yourself a specialist or a generalist. The vote numbers are...
They are 70.1% for generalist and 29.9% for specialist.
That's over on Twitter. Over on Insta Story, what have we got, Chris?
We've got 76% generalist and 24% specialist.
Arv, give us some tweets, please.
Yeah, so this comes from Kenny Wong, who says, one tends to start off as a specialist and can choose to move in that focused direction way into their careers. For me, after 33 plus years of moving from one industry to another, taking on bigger responsibilities along the way, I have gone on to become a commercially minded generalist.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There's another one there from Hiswani Hassan.
Hiswani says, what about in sports like football? Who is more valued nowadays, specialist or generalist? I think this is interesting because obviously, you know, you have to be specialized in doing certain things, right? But I think what we are asking is, if you are a footballer and you're also an author or and you also own like a startup, are you a generalist or are you a specialist in football?
Maybe we should ask Ross Youssef that, who is a pundit and has created a YouTube channel and a podcast and something else. And so, what would he be? A specialist in sports, but a generalist in tech, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Something like that. Chris, what have you got?
Yeah, so this is I Am May says, in between, I specialize in illustrations, but I have other commercial styles as an artist.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Sharina has piped up over on WhatsApp. A good leader is a good generalist first. Then he or she knows what everyone is being faced with. Big companies started getting all their employees to be generalists instead of specialists. I run a small video production company. I can write concepts and even be the driver to my crew too. It's the only way to teach and lead.
Speaking of being a generalist or a specialist, Arv, do you have the KLCI update for us?
Yes, I do. Where is it? Yes. Okay. So it is down by 0.98% at 1,496 points. Active stocks by volume include Iris Corp Berhad, Thrive Property Group Berhad, and Vivocom International Holdings. A quick look at the ringgit. It is at 4.27 against the US dollar. It's at 2.9 against the Aussie dollar and 3.06 against the Sing dollar.
Well done, Arvind Yuvraj. Well prepared. Now, moving on to something different. It's not specialists or generalists. It's introverts or extroverts.
Yeah, so normally when it comes to the workplace, you know, it looks like extroverts normally sort of come out on top. Extroverts tend to be enthusiastic about social activities, receiving social attention, and that means that at work generally, this behavior elicits like attention and recognition from peers and senior leadership because people like to, you know, see extroverts succeed. And as a result, even introverts may act out of character as like pseudo extroverts to get along and get ahead. However, the recent disruption to our work lives may have tipped the personality scales from pseudo-extroversion to pseudo-introversion. When you're removed from the physical office space, extroverts are likely to feel the loss of social connection, like informal office chats and re-energizing water cooler movements, and, you know, even just walking over to a colleague's desk to ask a question or bounce an idea. And most significantly, extroverts may now find themselves having to act out of character. In a remote working environment, extroverts have to adapt to guests like more typically introverted behavior. They have to do longer stretches of solitary work, less spontaneous activity. They have to listen more, reflect more. And this can start to take a toll. So in lab-based studies, John Zelensky and colleagues at Carleton University found that extroverts who are instructed to act introverted in a social interaction task experience a rise in negative emotions and a dip in performance. In addition to that, extroverts may also be feeling a deeper loss of control and agency over their newfound reality, thereby really taking a toll on their mental health as well. So, for all the introvert employees out there, they may be doing pretty well in the lockdown, but how do you lower the risk of fatigue, stress, and burnout for your extroverted employees who are finding themselves acting out of character? The idea is to start building what they're calling restorative niches. So in personality research, restorative niches are the places, spaces, and or states of recovery in which people's natural biogenic dispositions can be nurtured and recharged. So for an introvert, a restorative niche would be, you know, retreating back to your apartment after a long day of networking and being completely alone. Thank you. But for...
That sounds very familiar.
I don't relate at all. But for an extrovert, restorative niches are often readily available into the work week. It's the buzz of a communal space or lunch with a group of colleagues or drinks after work. So for remote workers, managers should reconsider recreating these work-based reserved niches in the week. Maybe do like Friday Zoom drinks or lunchtime talks or a brainstorm hour where team members can all log on and ideate together within the week. And managers may want to bring their team into the process to find what works best for them. Because obviously, with restorative niches, you know, first of all, they're going to be different from introverts and extroverts. So if you fill your team's social calendar with like all the things required to help the extroverts, then the introverts as a result may be affected negatively, right? Mm-hmm. In addition, Zoom fatigue as well, which is the exhaustion from constant face-to-face digital interaction, is affecting both introverts and extroverts. So managers need to be wary of making activities opt-in and not alienating other team members in the process. Ideally, you know, ask each individual member of your team what kind of restorative niches might suit them. And then they can sort of work together, you know, with people who are more like them or more willing to opt into those sorts of activities together. You could maybe do like a run during lunchtime and maybe have like each other on phone call or whatever. You could share a Spotify playlist to motivate each other throughout the work week as well. You know, so there are many ways to sort of create these shared spaces online for all your extrovert employees.
No, I was gonna say it's nice. It's nice to. I didn't think about the extrovert. It's out there.
No.
And it's nice to have like a sort of care pack or care package to give them and think about, you know, how they are going through the MCO. Because honestly, as much as it's a bummer to have the MCO and be quarantined and, you know, telling you not restricting movement and stuff, the thought of just staying at home and doing nothing is nice for introverts. I'm just going to say that. So it's nice to think about the other people who might be having a tough time just being indoors too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even doing nothing, but I think I can safely say, like, despite the amount of people who tell me to my face that they think I'm an extrovert, I am not an extrovert by any means. I'm very much so introverted. Mm-hmm. So being at home and being able to, you know, edit without having to talk to people, for example, has allowed me to focus greatly on my work. But I also know that we have a couple of colleagues who are extroverted and may have been struggling a little bit with not being able to talk to people and even having those, you know, impromptu chats, you know, sitting at the table together and things like that have been difficult for people.
Do you find yourself over time becoming more introverted during the MCO and the RMCO?
Not really. I think, though, for us, it's a bit different. We have not technically stopped working, you know, throughout the MCO. We've been able to see each other for, you know, the past couple of months. And I think that is a bit different from if you were completely on lockdown for the past couple of months as well. Although I must say that I think if I had been on total lockdown, I may have stopped talking to people entirely. but I didn't, so yay.
Like a Tom Hanks castaway thing.
A little bit.
Yeah.
What about you, Av?
During the MCO?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? So a lot of people were like, you know, what do we do when we can't go out and we don't have like social activities? And I was like, this doesn't sound too bad. I'm okay with this, you know?
It's given you that out almost.
It's given me the out. Yeah. Because sometimes when more places are open, you are not forced, but you don't want to be missing out. So you want to be out there and you want to be going places. You want to be, quote unquote, enjoying your time outside. But when you don't have that choice, you kind of just have that luxury of being at home and resting and, you know, taking it easy for a bit, despite the horrible circumstances.
So what you're saying is you can't have peer pressure if you have no peers?
Yeah, you can't have peer pressure if there's no peer pressure to have.
Yeah.
You know, they can't pressure you into doing anything. So that's just how I feel. What about you?
Well, yeah, I find myself, you know, wanting to go out less and less. I do find myself, you know, I consider myself as an introvert. But before, I would have that desire every now and again just to, like, get out for a little bit, you know. Whether or not it's just to go to a mall or just for a walk around, you know, my local area or whatever it's for. But that need or that want to do that has almost disappeared, you know. And I don't know what that is. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I think for me it's just like it's given people, given me perspective.
Yeah.
Of, and as cliched as it is to say about what's important and what's not, I am a bit of a, I like going out and being in malls and going watching movies and stuff. It's not that I don't like to be out, but like you said, being indoors a lot, I was surprised at how much less I missed being out that much.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Little things like even going to the supermarket. I know for some people that is their escape. Getting to a supermarket is their escape. For me, I've always been, I know what I want. I have a list. I go in, I get what I want, and I immediately come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bish, bash, bosh, out. And for me to be able to do that now and not feel guilty about it, I'm just like, this is exactly
because that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think also for me personally, I grew up, you know, having a lot of like online friends. And so I've always been used to communicating with people online and getting my sort of daily dose of social interaction purely from the internet. And so when the lockdown happened and I just had to talk to people on the internet, I was like, yeah, this is fine. This is not at all different from my normal
it's not new
social
normal.
Interaction at all.
Yeah.
So I think I just had an easier transition than most.
All right. Let's take a short break. Music coming up from the Smashing Pumpkins with Perfect. Again, we are talking about whether or not you consider yourself a specialist or a generalist. You can let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. Short break, and then we're coming back with our final story, which is about...
It's about hotels and how people are booking them to have work-life balance.
That's all coming up very shortly. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll be right back.